Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Writing the Mother Tongue by David Wolman is a popular nonfiction book about the history, culture, and stubborn irregularity of English spelling, blending language history with literary journalism. Wolman traces how English orthography developed from Old English through print culture, dictionary making, reform campaigns, and the digital age. The book is not a manual for better spelling and not a technical linguistics text. Instead, it is an accessible exploration of why English spelling so often feels illogical and why efforts to fix it have repeatedly struggled. Wolman approaches the subject through stories, historical episodes, and portraits of figures who shaped spelling debates, including lexicographers, reformers, and modern technologists. A central idea is that English spelling reflects centuries of invasion, borrowing, standardization, and resistance to change. The result is a writing system that is messy but historically revealing. The book aims to help readers understand that inconsistency in English spelling is not simply a flaw, but a record of cultural contact, political influence, and evolving communication. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, how English spelling became a historical patchwork. One of the book's most important themes is that English spelling did not emerge from a single plan or authority. Wolman presents it as the accumulated result of many centuries of change, mixing, and accident. English absorbed influences from Old English roots, Norman French, Latin learning, and other linguistic contacts, which left visible traces in spelling long after pronunciation shifted. This helps explain why many English words seem inconsistent, even when they belong to the same sound family. The system was shaped not only by speech, but by scribes, printers, scholars, and educators who each imposed habits and preferences. Wolman emphasizes that spelling preserves older stages of the language, so what looks irrational today may reflect earlier pronunciation or prestige borrowing. The famous oddities of English are therefore not random defects, but clues to history. By showing spelling as a layered artifact rather than a cleanly designed code, the book changes the reader's perspective. Instead of asking why English failed to become phonetic, Wolman encourages readers to see how political conquest, cultural aspiration, and the spread of literacy created a hybrid written language. This historical frame is essential to the whole book and gives coherence to its many examples. Secondly, silent letters and other oddities as evidence of language change. Wolman uses familiar curiosities such as silent letters to make a larger point about how spelling records the past unevenly. Cases like the silent H in Ghost, or the persistence of letters that no longer match pronunciation, reveal that spelling often changes more slowly than speech. In some instances, extra letters entered words through printing practices, etymological guesswork, or efforts to make English look more learned and respectable. In others, older sounds simply disappeared while the written form remained. Wolman turns these examples into a guided tour of the forces that produce orthographic weirdness. He is less interested in mocking inconsistency than in explaining how it arose and why it persists. These examples also show that spelling is influenced by status and convention as much as by sound. A word can keep a letter because readers expect it, because dictionaries reinforce it, or because institutions reward continuity over reform. The result is a system that is difficult to master but rich in historical residue. By focusing on specific odd spellings, Wolman gives readers concrete entry points into a complex history. The oddities become evidence, not mere trivia, helping explain why English spelling remains so resistant to simplification. Thirdly, the long struggle between standardization and reform. A major thread in the book is the recurring effort to regularize English spelling and the equally strong resistance to doing so. Wolman examines the work of influential figures associated with standardization and reform, including Samuel Johnson and Noah Webster, as well as later advocates who wanted more systematic changes. Johnson helped stabilize spellings through dictionary authority, while Webster promoted forms that became especially important in American English. Yet even strong personalities and respected reference works could not fully rationalize the language. Wolman shows that spelling reform repeatedly runs into cultural, political, and practical barriers. People may agree that the system is inefficient, but they do not agree on what should replace it, and many fear losing continuity with literature, education, or national identity. Reform efforts can also look artificial when they move faster than actual usage. This tension gives the book much of its drama. On one side stands the desire for clarity, consistency, and easier literacy. On the other stands attachment to tradition, habit, and the visible history embedded in words. Wolman does not reduce the issue to a simple pro-reform or anti-reform position. Instead, he shows why the debate keeps returning and why it has never been definitively settled. Fourthly, American spelling and the politics of language identity. The book also pays attention to the specifically American dimension of spelling history. Woolman explains that differences between British and American spelling are not merely technical variations, but part of a broader story about national identity, educational policy, and cultural independence. Noah Webster becomes especially important here because his reforms were tied to the idea that the United States should develop its own linguistic standards, rather than simply inherit British ones. Forms such as color and center became symbols of a distinct written norm, even when the underlying spoken language remained mutually intelligible across the Atlantic. Woolman treats these differences not as curiosities alone, but as examples of how spelling can carry political meaning. Once a form is institutionalized in schools, dictionaries, and publishing, it becomes part of a community's self-understanding. This helps explain why even modest spelling changes can provoke strong reactions. People do not defend only efficiency or correctness, they defend identity, memory, and membership. By placing American spelling in this wider context, Woolman shows that orthography is never just a neutral tool. It is also a cultural marker shaped by nation-building, authority, and public debate. This gives the book relevance beyond word history and connects it to larger questions about how language communities define themselves. Lastly, from print to spell check and the future of written English. Woolman extends his history into the contemporary world by considering how digital tools are affecting spelling habits and standards. He connects earlier moments of technological change, such as printing and dictionary culture, with modern developments like computerized spell check and network communication. The point is not that technology suddenly solves the problems of English spelling. Instead, technology creates new forms of guidance, correction, and variation. Spell checkers can reinforce standard spelling, but they also expose the limits of automation because language depends on context, meaning, and changing usage. At the same time, email, texting, and online writing encourage speed, informality, and experimentation, which may loosen attachment to older conventions in some settings while preserving them in others. Woolman treats this not as a simple decline narrative, but as another stage in the long evolution of orthography. Just as printers and lexicographers once shaped norms, software designers and digital platforms now influence what counts as acceptable written English. The future of spelling, in his account, will likely remain mixed rather than uniform. Standard forms will endure because institutions still need them, but everyday writing will continue to adapt to new media. This gives the book a contemporary edge and shows that spelling history is still unfolding. In conclusion, Writing the Mother Tongue is best suited for readers who enjoy language history, cultural criticism, and lively nonfiction that makes a specialized subject approachable. It will appeal to teachers, writers, editors, students, and general readers who have ever wondered why English spelling feels harder than it should. Its value is partly practical, because it gives readers a clearer framework for understanding common irregularities and the limits of neat rules. More importantly, it offers an intellectual benefit by turning frustration into historical insight. Readers come away seeing spelling not as a broken system that somehow escaped repair, but as a layered record of conquest, prestige, reform, and technological change. What makes the book stand out in its category is its balance. It is informed without being academic, humorous without becoming trivial, and curious about reform without becoming doctrinaire. Rather than simply celebrating odd words or scolding bad spellers, Woolman treats orthography as a meeting point of history, identity, and everyday life. Compared with many language books that focus narrowly on usage debates or grammar complaints, this one is broader in scope and more historically grounded. It succeeds because it shows that the messiness of English spelling is also part of what makes the language culturally rich and endlessly interesting. If you would like to support David Woolman, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.